As always, I need your prayers tonight as I stand before you. I'm very, very thankful for this church and what it means to me. And your presence tonight, I just ask that as Brother Terry has prayed, that you would just continue to pray that the Lord would supply what we need as a congregation of believers here tonight. I'd like to read to you from the writings of the Apostle Paul tonight, the writings found in the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Tried my very best to follow the leadership of the Spirit. Had a good little time of study this afternoon. I got back to the house after the meeting at Summer Duck and just kind of went down into my basement and just kind of shut out everything and spent time reading the Bible and sitting there thinking about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord and all the good fellowship I've enjoyed this weekend, and just got to really enjoy that sweet little time of communion with the Lord. I need to do more of that. I confess that to you. There are times that I'm studying, but there's a lot of other things going on sometimes when I'm trying to do that. You may be guilty of that as well. It's important for us to block out and set aside time where we are just alone with the Lord and where we're communing with Him and not only talking to Him, but listening as we read His Word. And we believe that the Lord does communicate through His Word. We believe that He does speak in our hearts and He leads us in our hearts. But it's always by His Word that we go and are sure that what we're being taught in our hearts by the Lord is in accord with His Word, so that we try the spirits to know whether they be of God or whether they are not. As sure as there is good in this world, there is evil. As sure as there is a God, there is a devil. And sure as there is a friend of sinners, there is the adversary. And His presence is just as real in our lives as the Lord's presence. And we need to be aware of that He is a deceiver and a liar. And if there's a way that we could become confused, He will try everything He can to confuse us. And with that awareness, we can be as close to the Lord as we can and just beg Him as we become more and more close to the Lord, draw near to the Lord, resist the devil, and the Scripture says He will flee from you. And that is important for us to be active in that. This book of Colossians talks a great deal about how God's little children ought to live. Tonight my mind and thought is upon that passage, even though we've used it many times. I want to go where the Lord will lead us, and I'd like to read in your hearing the third chapter of Colossians. Scripture says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which Also, ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. That's the entirety of the third chapter. I don't intend to take this verse by verse and spend a great deal of time. It may not be that I say very much at all tonight. I just thank the Lord I was able to read this in your hearing and tell you without reservation, I absolutely believe this to be God's word and the truth. And I would certainly commend you to it, that the things that are written here are worthy of your consideration to the point that you live your life by them, that you use it as a guiding principle in your life, that you build your house upon these wonderful truths of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you above everything else in your life desire to be a disciple, a follower, a pupil, a learner of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you put that before everything else in your life. That's something that you and I stand daily in need of. Each day we get up, we ought to be concerned about everything. We're concerned about so many things, but our number one concern, our number one consideration ought to be in our lives every day when we get up is that we're walking away to please the God of heaven who has given us life to live, to honor and glorify Him. That ought to be our number one concern. That ought to be our number one desire, is to show love to God and to love Him with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our soul. And that is the greatest commandment. And the next greatest is likened unto it, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, that we love one another, but we love each other because we first love the Lord. And we first love the Lord because He first loved us. And He's the source of our ability to love. If He had not given us life, we wouldn't be able to love Him. We wouldn't want to love Him. But because He's given us life, our number one desire ought to be, every day we get up, right now where you are, right at this moment, our desire ought to be, Lord, help me love you. Help me love thee more and more. Help me live like I love thee by keeping thy commandments. Help me, Lord, to look more like thee, more like thy child. Help me, Lord, to think more like thy child. Help me, Lord, to live more like thy child, that I might honor thee and glorify thee. And though I love others in this world, let my love towards them be as hatred in comparison when it comes to my love towards thee. Brethren, let it not only be for other people, but for other things. When he looked at Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me, Peter, more than these? Do you love me, Peter, more than the other disciples? Do you love me, Peter, more than the fish? Do you love me, Peter, more than fishing? Do you love me, Peter, more than all these things? And Peter said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest all things. He came finally after being questioned three times and probably becoming frustrated at his response with the Savior. But the Savior that had suffered him to deny him three times also brought Brother Peter to the place where he was made to confess him three times. Lovest thou me? Thou knowest all things, Lord. You know I love thee. I'll tell you, Peter would have never loved the Lord or answered the Lord in that way if it had not been for God's grace. Tonight, if you love the Lord, and I believe you do, I believe you love Him. I believe you want to love Him more. I believe You desire to live better, act better, behave better, to shine your light better in this world, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ better, to show others more how much you love the Lord, and ultimately to show God and to come before God in a love towards Him. Tonight as we meet here, we meet in the very presence of the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. Two or three are gathered together in His name. We have. He is one in our midst. He said He would be. I believe He's here. And if He's here, it's because of His grace that He's here. It's not because we got washed up, cleaned up enough on our own, but because He came and died and paid the sin debt and washed us. Though we stand before Him vile and unclean in ourselves, we're washed in the blood of Christ, and our sins have been removed from us, and therefore we can come and express our love and our gratitude and our thanks to the Lord, even though our sin-polluted lips would never be able to do that. Because we've been made accepted in the Beloved, we are able to do that, and God forbid we'd be somewhere else, wrapped up in something else, rather than when we are able to come to worship the Lord. And that's why we're here tonight. We're here to worship Him. We're here to thank Him. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, that is those who've been born of the Spirit of God, to be risen with Christ in this text. And this text is talking about the new birth experience. It's talking about being born again, being brought out of a state of death and sin and given life in Christ. There are many ways that we're in Christ. We were chosen in Him before the very foundation of the world. We're also created in Christ Jesus. That is, born of His Spirit and made new creatures. We're given a new man that we're to put on, who is renewed in the very image of Him that created him. And because we have been given spiritual life, you and I, because of that, should be about seeking those things which are above. And sometimes if you're like me, and I'm afraid we are so often, we kind of get in neutral, don't we? We're not really outwardly trying to do anything that's contrary to the things of God. We're just not so actively trying to do those things and mindful of those things that truly please Him. We're just kind of putting in time in this world. I believe God's little children sometimes get in a place where they're just kind of putting in time in this world, where they get up in the morning and go through the day and really not very mindful about the very presence of the Lord and His working in their lives. Sometimes in those conditions, God brings us to points of affliction and trouble. I'll tell you what that does for you. It makes you call on the Lord, doesn't it? You know, you may not be calling on Him, but you have something hit you in a hard way, and you'll be calling on the Lord. If you know the Lord, you'll be calling on Him, and you'll ask the Lord to help you. You ask the Lord to bless you. And life's difficulties in the valley of affliction, God's little children often learn things they never learn on the mountaintops in this world. But brethren, you and I, as God's children, according to this text, need to every day, whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley, be seeking the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, being seeking fellowship with Him, being seeking one who's seeking those things which are above, which really is talking about the things that please the Lord. My life ought to be about what's going to please the Lord today. And what is it that I should do? And according to this text, if I'm mowing the grass, I ought to try to mow the grass like it would please the Lord. According to this text, if I'm eating my breakfast, I ought to try to eat my breakfast in a way that is pleasing the Lord. If I am fixing something for someone else to eat, I ought to try to do it in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Whatever task is before me, if I am standing before God's people trying to preach, sometimes preachers get confused about what they're called to do. And sometimes we get worried about how the congregation feels when really the responsibility is, what is it the Lord would have me to say and what is it the Lord would have me to do? And yes, we want the congregation to be able to feed and be happy. Y'all have often heard me ask, have you gotten anything out of what I've tried to say? Or is that... I'll sometimes wonder, was that of any benefit? Listen, the most critical thing about preaching is it that which the Lord would have me say, and does it please Him? And if it pleases Him, sometimes you'll please Him when the whole congregation gets upset, and sometimes you'll get the whole congregation happy, and you haven't pleased the Lord. Our concern ought to be about pleasing the Lord, should it not? And brethren, you're sitting in that seat today. Your main concern ought to be about, am I pleasing the Lord? Am I pleasing the Lord about what I'm doing? Am I pleasing the Lord about what I'm thinking? Am I pleasing the Lord? Am I seeking that? Sometimes we say, well, I'm not always actively doing that. This scripture, I believe, tells us we are to be active in doing that. And that's really what's on my mind tonight. I get stuck in neutral. I just, you know, try to think I'm not going backwards. But in reality, when you're in neutral, you're going backwards. If we're not pressing towards the mark of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're not going forward in the service of God, if you notice the armor of God that you're told to put on, you got everything for the front to move forward. You don't have anything on the back because there's no backing up or running away. We're to press onward. We're to go forward. We have not only defensive armor to wear, we have offensive armor to wear in this world, and we're to go forward and be good soldiers in the service of Almighty God, and we're to be looking to the Lord and leaning upon the Lord and depending upon the Lord, and that certainly means we're to be mindful of Him. A little text that I'd read many years, many times before, and maybe even talked about at some point, that I found in the Old Testament, that in the book of Proverbs, that kind of just brought out the reality of what happens to God's little children in our lives when we just kind of get in neutral and we just become neglectful. We read it in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30. And Solomon, I believe, actually is writing about a place that he actually saw and walked about. But I believe the language of the Bible here has many applications. It is true of in a natural application, but it is absolutely true in individuals' lives in a spiritual way. When we cease to remember how much I need to pray in the morning when I get up, are you mindful of that every day, or are there times you kind of like me and you get in neutral? When you're in trouble, you remember to pray. But I mean when things don't seem. And every day, by the way, every day, if we know the reality of it, you have an adversary who'd like to let you think every once in a while you really don't need the Lord. You kind of got this. And you get in neutral. The reality of it is every day is the day of trouble. This is the evil. You want to know when the evil day is? You're in it. You want to know when that hour you need Him is? It's right now. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. You know when that time is? It's right now. Whether you realize that or not doesn't change the fact that you and I are in danger in this world. And if we're by ourselves and we're alone and we're not looking to Him and leaning upon Him and communicating Him, you can be assured things will not get better in our lives. They will get worse. And things will go downhill, not uphill. They're not going to hold their own either. Here's what Solomon said in the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon was a wise man. You know why Solomon was wise? Because God gave him wisdom. You know why every other man that's been wise has been wise? Because God gave it to them. You know where every good thing came from? You know that. Every good thing came down from the Lord. Every blessing we have in this world. This book was written by Almighty God, and He moved men to write it and pin it down. And that's why you and I can count on it and live by it. If it was just man's work, it wouldn't be any better or worse than any other book. But this is God's word. Solomon said, I went by the field of the slothful. A slothful man is a lazy man. He said, and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. The same man, not only was he slothful, but he lacked wisdom. And for God's little children in this world, that's two dangerous conditions that we can have that will get us in neutral real quick. We become lazy. Listen, it's an effort, and it's a cost in our life when it's an effort at times to pray. I'm not saying it should be. I'm just saying that to pray means I've got to not do what I want to do and live my life and present my body a living sacrifice. I've got to recognize that I can't make it without Him. I can't think right without Him. I can't act right without Him. I can't go to school and teach children without Him. I can't be the husband I need to be without Him. I certainly can't be the pastor I need to be. And every area of my life, I need Him. And therefore, for me not to pray is to be certainly slothful, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you say that? And it certainly would be one who's void of understanding. He said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Now notice, this wasn't just any place. The man had a field and he had a vineyard. Now what are fields for? Well, they're for production of something good. They are to produce things that are beneficial, things that are needed. Fields produce when they're farmed right and kept right and done right. They're very productive and they bring forth the food and nourishment for those that are dependent on those fields to produce things. And he says, I went by the field of the slothful, that is the lazy man, and the vineyard is the place where the fruit comes from that is so beneficial and needed. And listen, more importantly than anything in our lives today, you and I need spiritual food and we need spiritual drink. You talking about, somebody might say, well, you, in order to teach, you need an education. But I'm telling you, in order to be the little child of God, you're His children, but in order to be pleasing to the Lord and seeking His face, you need to know how to act and walk and behave. You need to know what's in His Word. You need the light of His Word. You need to be a student of His Word. You need to know what this Bible says and teaches. Not that the preacher knows it, but that you have some idea and understanding of it. Now, of course, the preacher needs to know it because his responsibility is to feed you and to teach you from the Word of God, the truth as it is in Christ. But that which he teaches, it's your responsibility as a little child of grace to be hungry and thirsty and seeking after that, and then to put that into application in your life. If it's just something you have on Sunday and it doesn't affect you on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and the rest of your life, then the Scripture really talks about our religion in that way as being a vain religion. A vain religion. He says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And you probably experienced this in your own life. I know I have. I've seen some pristine places that were so well kept and so well maintained. You'd ride by them and you think, boy, that place is just absolutely beautiful. And the evidence on the outside is that somebody that's not lazy, or somebody that's well enough to hire somebody that's not lazy, is taking care of that place. I mean, you can tell that someone is spending some time at that place and some effort in that place to make sure those things that they were looking for, if it was a farm or whether it was a garden or whatever it might be, they were taking care of it in order for it to produce the things that were necessary to be coming out of that. And they had spent some time to do that. They didn't just let it go. You see, they didn't just stay in neutral. Now, what happens when things are in neutral? Does it just kind of maintain? If you just let your yard go, is it going to stay like it is today? If you let anything go, if you let your kitchen go, is it going to stay like it is today? If you let your house go, is it going to stay like it is today? Do things in this world get better when you let them go, or what happens? We know the law, don't we? And the law is this: if you just let it go, if you let your car go, it's going to fall apart. You let your house go, it's going to fall down. You let the church building go, it's going to be in disrepair. There is going to be a necessary need for us to be active in those kinds of things to keep them up. That's what Solomon said. He went by this and he saw that this was a place of a slothful man and a man void of understanding, and it had grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And then I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instruction. And here's the words: yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. I'm gonna rest today. Now, what in the world does this have to do with spiritual things so very much? Listen, our lives as God's little children, we're to build our house upon something. We're to live our life upon something. We're not to be in neutral. We're not to be slothful. We're certainly not to be void of understanding. The teachings and the principles of God's Word that are laid down in page after page of His Word, that we're told to study the Word and to search the Scriptures and to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And of course we know you can labor and labor and labor, but if the Lord doesn't bless your labor, you can't keep the house on your own. But I'm telling you, God hasn't called us to be slothful. God hadn't called us to be lazy. God hadn't called us to be in neutral. And when we get in those conditions, our spiritual life looks like this place. What happens? Well, the world just kind of fills your life up, doesn't it? I mean, I'll tell you what, you look at the life of David when he got off track, and how quick did he get in a mess. You look at the lives of the Old Testament characters when they got outside of the will of God, and good, faithful men, what a mess their lives became. And I dare say you and I can all go back in our own memory and our own thoughts where we just kind of, we didn't actively say, I'm going away from it. We just forgot to pray, forgot to study, forgot to think about the Lord, forgot to thank Him, just went on through life, taking it just for granted that this is going to be like this today because it was like that yesterday. And sometimes we don't wake up until we're hit so hard, we go like, oh, I really, really need Him. And brethren, what has happened when we do that is our life gets full of, grown over with thorns and nettles that covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. What? He said this, a little sleep and a little slumber. Just sounds, doesn't sound like all of a sudden we notice that the man didn't go out and knock his fence down. He didn't. He didn't go out there and plant something to cause problems. All he did was not understand and become slothful. Just a little sleep. Just a little slumber. Just let me just miss a little prayer this morning. Sharon and I very actively have tried to pray in the mornings when we face things. But I've noticed even in the last week or so, and I guess confession, hope she feels this way too. Confession is good for the soul. As we've been pushing through a lot of things, we haven't done as much of that. You know why? Because I felt like maybe we're just trying to get this done, trying to get that done. Let me tell you, we forsook the most important thing. If we didn't get anything else done, let me say this to you. Tonight, the most important thing that you and I have in our life is our love we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we love Him because He first loved us. And the most important need that you and I have tonight in our lives is fellowship with Him. And the greatest power that you have in your life is the power that comes from Him. He said to be strong in who? In the Lord. You don't have and I don't have any strength anywhere else. To be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But I'm telling you, in the Lord, you have the captain of the Lord's host that a Joshua said standing there as he was about to go into battle. And I don't know how Joshua felt, but I know Jericho might have looked like a mighty big place to ever have to conquer. And he felt the burden of the Lord. And as a leader of the Lord's people in that day and time, he felt a great burden, no doubt, of what am I going to do? And there was one standing there with a sword in his hand. And he said, are you with us or are you an adversary? Who are you? And the answer came, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. I'm telling you what, he had an ally in him. And you know what Joshua did? He fell down on his knees and worshiped Him. Somebody said, well, who was that? I'm telling you, if it was just a man, Joshua would have been wrong and he should have been corrected. This wasn't just a man. This was an appearance of our Savior in the Old Testament as the captain of the Lord's host. And I'm telling you, the one who walks with me and you is no less the captain of the Lord's host. He's no less the one who made it, the heavens and the earth. He's the Creator. He's the one by whom all things are made. And He's the one I can look to every day, no matter what my trouble is, and find everything that I need. And one day He's going to take me home to glory. And if I forget Him, God forbid I forget Him. Lord, help me remember Thee every day. Listen, when Brother Gary gets ready to go to church, he gets so shaky and scared. Yeah, I'm going to be praying. I'm going to remember Him. But listen, I need Him just as much when I get up in the morning as I do on Sunday night as I'm coming to church. And this may not be your situation as far as church, but I dare say you know sometimes that you've known you really need Him. And maybe sometimes that you've just been in neutral. And you wonder, like, how did my place get in such a mess? It's because we didn't remember what's most important. Now, if we follow, now he said this too. He said, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. That means just as one's traveling to get to a location, as sure as we forget the things of the Lord and become slothful and lack understanding, the poverty is coming. Just as sure as a man travels to get to a place, poverty is on the way when I become slothful. A church that gets lazy and slothful, poverty is on the way. Membership, individuals that get lazy and slothful, or we lack understanding. Listen, you could be very zealous and active, but if you lack understanding, we'll be doing the wrong thing. What we need to do is be zealous and then, according to the truth and understanding, be active in the service of the Lord. Not in order that we are something, but because He deserves no less than that in our service to Him. He said to present your bodies a living sacrifice. And what that simply means is that it isn't about me anymore. I am dead and my life is hid with Christ in God. And we all ought to say, hallelujah, thank the Lord that's the case. Because if you and I were still living in that sense and we weren't dead, we'd have to stand before God in our sins and hear from Him, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and the angels. And that would be a horrible sound if we would hear that. But yet, brethren, if we got what we deserve, that would be what we heard. But because we are dead in this sense, we've been killed, because we've been made alive in the Lord, we the old man is dead. Because of that work of grace, will He come, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Because of that, you and I ought to be alert and awake and active, certainly not slothful and lacking instruction. He said, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. I'm telling you, it doesn't just say, do you want it or not? It's coming. And if we become slothful and we lack instruction, it's going to come, and there's not any, it's going to come in as an armed man, meaning we will not be able to resist that. So what's the answer to that? That means every day let's be active, remembering what's important. Not only every day, every hour, every moment. How much of our life belongs to the Lord? Every bit of it. How much of our time belongs to the Lord? Every bit of it. How much of us belongs to the Lord? You are what? Bought with a price. You are not your own. You are dead and your life is hid. It's hid. Isn't that wonderful? With Christ in God. And it's wonderful that that's the case, but that also tells us we are responsible now to live in a way to honor God, because we belong to Him. We are bought and paid for. We are owned by Him. We are His servants. Going back over to that text, which, my goodness, is that really? Yes, it is. Okay. Just want to point out a few quick things. He says, if ye be risen with Christ, seek. Notice that word, seek. It's something to do. It's not, listen, you say, old Baptists believe in doing something? You better believe we believe in doing something. Now, we don't believe in doing something to become a child of God, but I'm telling you, if God's made you His by His grace and through His work, there is something to do. One of those things is seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's seek His will, seek His face, seek His counsel. Seek Him in prayer. Seek His instruction from His word. Seek Him in fellowship. Seek His presence in your life. Long for it. As He is, and as we draw near to Him, He'll draw nigh unto us. That's His promise. When two or three are gathered together in His name, what does that mean? We've come to seek Him. We come before His presence. And then He says, set your affection on things above. That means I want to love the things of God. I want to, and notice it says not on things of the earth, which tells me there is something and a responsibility for us not to love the things of the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. We're to love the things of God. We're to set our affections on that. What if we just hold neutral? What's going to happen? I'm telling you, this is an active thing. I want to set my affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And here's why. Because ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And here's the promise. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Boy, that's, you know, the duty part of this can get right tough, but I'm glad he throws us a wonderful promise of God's wonderful doctrine of grace that's here. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And because of that, notice this word. He says, mortify. Another thing to do. I could spend a lot of time doing this. You go through this and you just look at the verbs that are laid out here, the things that tells you what to do. There are some things for God's children to do. And if we just say, okay, he saved me, everything's good, it's all done, I'm just putting it on cruise, we're going to be like that little brother that Solomon walked by his field in a spiritual sense. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. Thankful for the things the Lord has given in a way. I hope it's been of some benefit to you. We give, if it is, give the Lord the praise and the honor and the glory. And let us never glory in anything but in the cross. I'll tell you, we don't have anything to glory in except the cross. But in the cross, what glory, praise, and honor can be given to our Lord. He's worthy and deserving of every bit we could ever give him. And let's not just do it on Sunday night. Oh, do it on Sunday night. But not presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, is definitely talking about church fellowship and church attendance. But it's also talking about what you do every single day you live. Because you belong to him every day. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. And I appreciate your kind attention.
Bless you. Appreciate that sweet prayer.
A lot to
me.
I do. Is the phone okay, Brian? I think you can pull it down. I don't know. I picked it up like I was going to do something with it, and I didn't have good sense.